Philip Glass is a contemporary composer who tries to keep the ambition of instrumental music that speaks without using words, while writing very much in a modern idiom of popular music with a beat that never stops and loops of chord progressions. He's most known for his film scores, where this kind of music functions perfectly in the background as it keeps the momentum going, like in The Truman Show or The Hours, and the most iconic of all, Kojaniskatsi. But he's also written music for listening only, both symphonic and chamber music, Metamorphoses and Etudes for piano, for example, and an album called Glassworks that garnered attention when it was released in 82 as a yuppie Walkman-suitable work of music. His style fits into what's called minimalism, that uses repetition of short segments as a foundational structural device and inserts minor variations over the same repeated material, which gives the name. And in the best case, you can reach a kind of a trance or hypnosis from all this repetition and just flow with the music in a very pleasant way. But if you compare it to most other classical music, it's easy to feel that it falls short of the ambition of narrative expression, as in this critic's review of his second violin concerto, when he describes it as rewarding as chewing gum that's lost its flavor. Or this critic about his opera Satyagraha: Glass never had a good idea he didn't flog to death. He repeats the haunting scale 30 mind-numbing times until it's long past time to go home. But regardless of the repetition, there are some really nice patterns and harmonic ideas in play that are worth checking out. And the piano music isn't that difficult to play if you're into this kind of style. So in this video, we look at the opening to the Glassworks album, which is a solo piano piece, to see how the music is built. You can pretty much see the repetition there. It's four bars that we get several times. But first of all, there's some really nice rhythmic tension here with a 3-2 in this movement. And it's mostly on the chord notes, kind of very clean musically. But when it's not much else, what is left gets more focus in a way. So you feel this rhythmic tension a lot. And also the melodic contour that is there, it's not much happening, but what's happening you hear more of. So in the right hand, we have two voices actually. So if I play them as long notes. And they move in a counterpoint in those long lines with the notes. That's a little bit interesting to hear. Good counterpoint. So the C stays up here, and then the lower voice moves. And now let's check out the harmony. So F minor, establishing F minor for two bars. And then we go down to E flat major, but also with a C. So it's, you can say it's a six, but it's also like a drone kind of voice, clinging on to the C on top, and because it's gonna stay there here. So the fourth chord is a lot of tension in this phrase, and it's a little bit tricky to say what it is, but I would explain it in this way. So the E flat kind of moves down, and if we only look at the left hand, we actually have this G diminished triad in inversion, and that's in F minor, that's a 2 diminished. And it can kind of act as a dominant function, because that's how it feels like when it's resolving to the F minor, is what it feels like. And the reason for that is if we remove the D flat and only have the G and the B flat, now if we add the C on the top, this is halfway to a C dominant 7. That's the dominant to F minor, but it's not with the E, so it's more kind of modal. But so what Glass does is it takes both of these chords together. That's not very common, but yeah, so it's very dissonant. Not that dissonant because it's two octaves apart, but still, that's a chord And then there's an A flat. And this is just an appoggiatura, a suspension that resolves to a G on the last note. So it's only the last part of the triplet, but it's very important, this resolution. Because it takes the voice down to F, back to F in the repeat. Okay, so that's the first four-bar phrase. Always like this, tension and resolution. A lot of tension in the last bar and then resolving when we go back. Now we get it four times. It's actually misprinted in this edition that I bought from musicnotes.com. It's supposed to be four times. Like, if you listen to it, that's the only thing that makes sense. But it's only written as three times. But so just if you have this note, write in another repetition. And the final time, we get a different ending to move on instead. So the final time sounds like this. We don't get that tension chord, instead we stay on the E flat and go down to second inversion. That prepares the next part. So after these four bars repeated four times, we get the second part of the piece, which is a new loop of four bars and four harmonies. So it sounds like this. Repeated. So it's less tension than the first part. It's going down in register, get a really nice warm feeling of this low tenor register. F minor, second inversion, B flat 7, a pure chord, pointing somewhere, and to E flat major, second inversion though, and then C minor, second inversion. So Glass likes a lot of second inversions in his music. I haven't analyzed all his music, but it feels like it's a typical Glass chord. Like, he treats it as a stable chord, but with inherent tension. It always has tension in second inversion. And also, functionally, this is also a bit tricky. So F minor, B flat 7 points to E flat. And so basically, we modulate to E flat major here within this phrase. And the C minor is part of both E flat major and F minor, the natural minor scale. But then in the repeat, what happens? So I think when we get back to the F minor, it feels like F minor is the tonic, more than just a 2-2-5-1. It's also a 2-5-1 in the modulation, but when we get the F minor on the first part of this loop, I think because of the integrity of the loop structure, we feel it as a tonic. So it's basically two tonal centers, F minor and E flat major. That's how I would describe how I feel this music. And it's a cool trick to have it play that role of the most important part of the phrase, the first beat or first bar. Okay, so we get this four times. Let's play the third and fourth time so you get the feeling of the second pair. So it changes in the end as well. C minor, F minor, pointing, E flat major. So the last time we just stay in E flat major, first inversion. And now for the third part, keeping the sound here so you hear the transition. Now we move up and get this lovely feeling. So it's very light and positive. The second part is kind of a more minor and down here. Or the first part maybe is the most minor. But here we move back up again and it's pointing upward, the melodic direction. Even the bass moves up. And harmonically, this is more to the E-flat tonal center part. It's B-flat, second inversion again. B-flat 7, kind of cheeky adding the 7, because it's a pure triad here. And then the 7. By the way, this bar is also a misprint in this edition. It's supposed to be that it starts on the lower note in the second bar here, so... and then go up. It's not like it says... And so if you listen to the original recording, it's what I said, start on the A-flat. And it's kind of deviating from the pattern would be easier if it was just starting from the top note. But I think it's an important detail to actually switch up that pattern for this bar, because it makes the melodic thing, the little we have, it makes it a little bit more interesting, which I think is totally essential, basically, in this music. One final point of this detail. In the first part, you have this kind of change of direction in the first bars, but from the other way. So we start on the low, and then go on the up. Like, it changes with if it's starting on the lower or high note of the pattern, which makes it more interesting than just... That's a detail, a glass detail. Okay, continuing with the third part after we get B-flat, B-flat 7, now. Here it's the high note again. So, this is A-flat triad. And then when the bass moves, it's basically an A-flat add 9 with a bass. Or, like, because you still hear, it's so clear, the A-flat triad. And then you just have this 9 here. Because it's not really a bass register, it's just middle register. But functionally, harmonically, I would say we're in E-flat major tonality. It's dominant, dominant 7. A-flat is a 4. So it's going from 5 to 4. Because if I play E-flat, it feels like a tonic. Now, this never comes in the music. It's always above that, and instead just go back to B-flat, the 5 again. Kind of always keep that harmonic tension. Now, if I play the third time, it changes already the third time now. Here, small detail, the bass moves down on the last, resolves to an A-flat too. And now, so, it's not the E-flat, but here we get a proper deceptive cadence instead. To G minor, so relative, A close relative to E-flat major. And even subito piano, suddenly soft. And this is the fourth time of the third part of the piece. Now we get like a punctuation in the phrase structure. So here we get a longer stretch of one harmony. It's changed harmony on basically every bar, except for maybe the first, when we established F minor in the beginning. It's two bars, but now we get two bars again to calm down a bit from all the movement, and then so again basically two bars, B flat 7 with a nice voice leading here, G going up in the middle voice, and then after this we're gonna get a big repeat of the whole thing twice, so that's the more of the repetition, but we've gone through all the material, so just the voice leading after this, it goes down to F minor, and that's basically all of the material we've gone through. If you repeat it all 3 times, you get a piece of like 6 minutes, 6.5, depending on the tempo. You can choose the tempo, like I'm in the faster range. Some people play it more of a getting into the meditative zone with a slower tempo. Like, it could be really good if you want to go to sleep, I think, this way. Or like want to think about other things than the music. But I like the energy from the music if you play it in a faster, what I did. Like, it is a great texture with a great sound, this rhythmic pattern and the positions and the harmony. It's really good music. It's just, yeah, maybe I think two times the whole piece is enough of a piece, actually. Why the third time? I'm not really sure. Now, one thing in general with glasses music, I find that it's always a good idea to add kind of a lot of direction, because it's always this even phrase structures, so it almost always works, like to go forward and then fall back, to feel like big waves, breathe in and breathe out. Maybe I didn't do it so much in this analysis because I was focused on the harmony, but let me show the first part. Start softly. So the first part is much the most tension on the last bit, but like the second part is easier, I think. You feel this big wave. So much of the time it totally works and it adds music. And I think it's actually a point, because the material is often so kind of mechanic or almost industrial, it makes sense to add more organicness to it. So like humanity in symbiosis with technology can really thrive as long as we let it be human. So that's it. It feels really nice to have done this video on the channel to kind of balance up all the classical music. Thanks for watching, and the Patreon shoutout goes to M. Miguel and C. L. Burchard.